I had something to say today. We didn't, well, we switched the song up three different times. This one was in the 3 days. And not that the songs weren't sounding okay, but it was just, you know, just switching around. We were going through this book here, and each time we looked at a different song, it was just more of a blessing. And this morning we came, you know, with a song that we had in mind, ready to go. And I asked Susanna, I said, Susanna, what, you know, there's a song that you and Dara played and sang a while back that I listened to in Poland on the tape. And she said, well, which one is that? I said, well, I have the beat and I have the chords to it. And as I started playing it, it clicked her mind. She flipped through the book. She said, this it. And I said, that's it. And as I was still playing, she just jumped right into it, started singing it. And it sounded so good, and it was a blessing. And it had been a blessing to me for a while time. And I had a verse to go with it in Psalms 92. 92 verse 8 says, but thou, Lord, art most high forevermore.
Say you were a prophet. Good morning. I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thankful for the opportunity to be here. I'm really thankful for the opportunity to preach in English. Now I can understand my own sermon. My text this morning is going to be Acts in chapter 10. Before then, I would like to say a few words. Once again, I want to thank the brothers for the opportunity to preach. I know my calling. I know what God has called me to do. And I thank God every day for the opportunity to preach the gospel. Amen. The good news that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for sinners like me and like you. Amen. You're looking at a blessed man this morning. Amen. Sitting there in that chair right there. Looking at my boy standing up here singing. Because a lot of boys didn't come back from Iraq. Mine did. Now I'm thankful for that.
Amen.
Some very good friends of mine, their boys aren't serving the Lord, but mine are. I'm thankful for that. Some people's children, their daughters have gone astray. By the grace of God, my daughters are serving the Lord.
Amen.
I got good friends. I got good fellowship. I'm tremendously blessed to be a part of this congregation, this body of believers, to know these godly pastors that you have. And I could count my blessings all day. You're just looking at a blessed man. 28 years with that woman from Atascosa, Texas. What a blessing. I don't know why you came this morning. I presume you came for the same reason that I came. It's the right thing to do. You come to honor the Lord. You've been blessed and you want to fellowship with the saints of God. Maybe you come because you were invited. Maybe you come this morning because if you're missing the blessing, you know that other people have been blessed and you want to partake of that blessing. Maybe you've come out of routine. Maybe you come seeking. I don't know, but I hope that the Word of God will be a blessing to you this morning. I'd like to read in Acts in chapter 10 and verse 11. And saw heaven open, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again unto heaven. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we do want to count our blessings this morning for all your grace that you've given to us and your mercy, for the opportunity to freely meet in your name, to gather around your word and to honor and glorify you. God, I pray that your word would be a blessing upon every soul here today. I pray that those that do not know you and do not know the grace of God and that are looking for hope, they might find it this morning. Lord, I pray that those that are discouraged would be encouraged. Lord, I pray that those that are looking for a blessing would find the blessing this morning. And Lord, that your name would be glorified in every life here this morning. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. There is a curious phrase in this portion of Scripture. Peter responding to the Lord, after the Lord gives him a command, Rise, in verse 13, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter responds, Not so, Lord. Do you find that curious? Why would anybody say to the Lord, Not so? It just seems like the phrase, Not so, and Lord, do not belong in the same sentence.
Right.
I have four wonderful children. They got to where they are today by the grace of God, first of all, but also a lot of hard work. Because every child, including my four grandchildren, every child seems the first words that they learn is not so. No. Why is it? Does it seem that children, it's easier for them to shake their head this way than this way? And you tell them to do something, the response isn't, yeah, I'll do that. The response is, no. Maybe they got it from their daddy. Probably so. I think that's biblical. We got it from Adam. It's in our nature. And yet as believers, to realize that Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, to put that phrase, that negative phrase, with Lord, it just seems strange. Not so, Lord. We can understand perhaps it was just, no, I'm not going to do that, to a commoner. But to say to the Lord of Lords, no, I'm not going to do that. And then, it even stranger is who it came out of, whose mouth it came out of. This comes out of the mouth of the Apostle Peter. This is not a rebel. This is not a person that, an atheist that denies the existence of God. This is not somebody that does not recognize that Jesus Christ is Lord. It comes out of the mouth of the Apostle Peter, a Christian, a believer, and he tells the Lord, not so. Now, I was in the military, and we had to respond. This response of Peter's is not like, for example, the sergeant says, gives you a command, or asks you, are you going to mess up? Are you going to fail? It's not a response, no sir, I'm going to finish the job. This is actually a defiance. This goes against all of my tradition, Lord. I'm not going to do this. And so, one of the first things I realized that we have as people, we want to hold on to our traditions, don't we? And so, even though it's the Lord that says, Peter, rise, kill and eat, that tradition that holds on to us rises up within us and says, no, I'm not going to break my tradition, even though you're Lord. And many people this morning will not come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior because tradition has hold on them. The tradition that Peter had was a good tradition. Tradition in itself is not good or bad. It can be either. And yet, when the tradition impedes us from recognizing that Jesus Christ is Lord, then we have a problem. I know a lot of people would come to Christ and know the salvation and know of His grace and His mercy and know of the peace that passes all understanding. They would come to them, they would come to Christ, but tradition has a hold on them. Whether it be a tradition of their fathers, whether it be a religious tradition, something impedes them because this is not how we've done it. Or I wasn't taught that way. Or my daddy does it different. And so the response is, not so, Lord. And again, I find it curious that it comes out of the mouth of Peter. If it came out of the mouth of Pharaoh, we can understand it. Pharaoh said it back in Exodus chapter 5 and verse 2, if you'd like to read it. He said, who is the Lord that I should obey His voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Now that makes sense to me. Pharaoh, a rebel, did not desire to submit to the Lord God Almighty. Had his own plans for his life, was not looking for the peace of God, wasn't interested in the grace of God, wasn't interested in the will of God. For him to respond, who is the Lord that I should listen to His voice? That makes sense. But for somebody that's looking for salvation, that is interested in the grace of God and finding the mercy of God and finding the peace of God, to say, not so, Lord. That I don't understand. I've talked to a lot of people in my life about salvation, about the gospel, the good news that Christ died on the cross for sinners. And I can't count the number of times that people said, yeah, that's true, but I can't do that. Or, I won't do that. Or, not so, Lord. You see, tradition impedes. Salvation is a work completed in Christ Jesus. Amen. What Jesus Christ did on the cross doesn't need anything else except for faith in Him. Right. But religion, in general, teaches opposite of that. Religion teaches that what Christ did is not sufficient. It's not enough that the Son of God died on the cross for our sins. It's not enough that He rose again the third day, proving that He was the Christ and the Son of God, and that God was satisfied with the sacrifice. It's not enough. I have to be baptized. I have to complete a sacrament. I have to pray five times towards Mecca. I have to make a journey in my lifetime, a pilgrimage. I have to do something. I have to suffer. I have to suffer in purgatory. I have to do these things. Not so, Lord. And again, it's very curious that we would say, not so, in the same phrase that we have the word Lord. You see, if you're going to come to God, you have to come God's way. If you really want to know the salvation of God, you've got to do it God's way. Not your way, not my way, not your father's way, not your mother's way, not your particular religious way, but God's way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Are you looking for the way to God? Jesus is the way.
Amen.
You see, what we preach here and what I preach is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to preach religion. There's a lot of religions in the world. I think there's over an abundance of religions in the world. I don't think you need religion. What you need is God.
Amen.
You see, everybody has religion, but not everybody has God. Everybody has tradition, but not everybody has the Word of God. Jesus said in Matthew, in chapter 7, in verse 6, he says, He answered and said unto them, Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. Friend, let it not be said of you that you'll say to the Lord God Almighty, Not so, Lord, because I have my tradition. Do not be mistaken that your tradition is just as good as another tradition, or your tradition is better than God's way. You see, Peter had a very good tradition. And if you go back to the Old Testament, you'll find that this was a tradition that God gave to the Jews. This was a biblical, a scriptural tradition. There was nothing wrong with his tradition. Nothing. In fact, he would have been wrong for not keeping that tradition at a certain time in his life. But when the command from the God Almighty comes to him, Peter, rise, kill and eat. It's time to lay aside the tradition and go God's way. And so, my friend, maybe up until this point you've had tradition and God has had a purpose in your life for that particular tradition. But now He's saying, come to the Son. He's the way. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. And I find it curious also that people will go to great extremes to find rest, but they will not come to Christ. I've known people to walk for miles on pilgrimages in order to find rest and peace, but they'll not come to Christ. I've known people that will do extreme things in order to find peace and happiness and salvation, but they won't come to Christ. Jesus is the way.
Amen.
Now, to my Christian friends, my brothers and sisters, have you found it in your life as a Christian, even as a believer, you've come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And yet Jesus comes to you and he tells you something that you haven't really heard before. He says, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And you find that curious and your natural response is, not so, Lord.
Amen.
You know Him as Lord. You know Him as Savior. You love Him, and yet this curious phrase comes out of your mouth, not so, Lord. the children of God in rebellion? Brother Trinity was talking about Israel. Israel were the children of God, and yet they were in rebellion many times. Let me warn you, my brother, that if you fall into this error, it'll come back to haunt you. To tell the Lord not so is a grave mistake. Now, I don't think that Peter was doing this out of rebellion, open physical rebellion. Now, that's how it happened. It comes out that way. It appears that way. But you know what happens here? Peter's going to have to repeat his mistake before the congregation, because in chapter 11, they ask him what happened, and he's going to have to tell them, you know, I was rebellious. And it says here, even in our context, in verse 16, this was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now, I'm not sure exactly what was done thrice. Either the vessel comes down three times, or the possibility is that three times Peter says, not so, Lord. Some people have a mistaken idea about Christianity. They have the idea that once you're saved, that you become perfect, that you have no faults, that salvation means that you're going to walk on a golden road all the way to heaven, no more problems, no more difficulties, no more confrontations with sin, no more dealings with the old man, no more temptations. Has any believer here this morning encountered that type of thing? You know what I've encountered in my life as a believer? Curious expressions coming out of my mouth. Like Peter, not so, Lord. Has anybody had an experience like Peter has had here? Where you open up the Word of God, or you hear a message, or something comes in your life, and you hear the very words of God, and yet your reaction, instead of, yes, sir, I'm going to do it, yes, Lord, I'm your servant, here am I, send me, you find yourself in the exact same shoes or sandals as Peter, and you say, not so, Lord. Or am I the only one? I think that we all can identify ourselves with Peter here. We've all found ourselves saying, Lord, I'm willing to do anything but not that. That's curious. Lord, I'm willing to go to church, but I'm not willing to give. Or, okay, I'm willing to go to church and I'm willing to give, but I'm not willing to preach. Or, yes, I'm willing to go to church and I'm willing to give and I'm willing to preach, but to raise up my children like the Word of God says I should raise up my children. No, Lord, I'm not going to do that. Yes, Lord, I'm willing to go to church. I'm willing to read the Bible. I'm willing to meet on Wednesday night and pray with the saints of God. But Lord, I'm not going to submit to my husband. Not so, Lord. Lord, yes, I'm willing to do almost anything you want me to do, but not... That's curious. Lord, I'm willing to do almost anything you want me to do, but not... Is that curious? Is that proper? Look, if you will, in Genesis chapter 19 and verse 17. This is curious to me because it comes from the mouth of the Apostle Peter. Coming out of the mouth of Pharaoh, it does not shock us, it does not surprise us. Coming out of the mouth of Lot, even Lot, it does not surprise us. And we find this here. Chapter 19, verse 17, and it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad, and he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. You're running from Sodom and Gomorrah, and the fire of God has fallen, and you're going to tell God, no, I'm not going to do that? The wrath of God is upon you, and he says, look, I'm going to give you a way out. Escape from the plain. Go to the mountains. You're going to tell it. You're going to argue with the Lord. Don't you find that curious? Don't you find that strange? Okay. Now go home and look in the mirror.
Amen.
Because you and I have done this very same thing.
Amen.
You and I have known that this is wrong. The wrath of God is going to fall upon us. The fire of God and His wrath is going to fall. We know it's wrong. And God says, don't do that. Escape to the mountain. And we stand there and argue with the Lord. And we say, oh, not so, my Lord. Look, if you will, in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21. I'm putting you through an exercise this morning because I want you to notice that this is the Word of God and not the Word of Brent. You see, this was not the first time that this happened in Peter's life, where he told the Lord no. Matthew 16 and verse 21, we read, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto His disciples how that He must go unto Jerusalem, and to suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed and raised again the third day. Then Peter took Him and began to rebuke Him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be done unto thee. But He turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. It gets stranger, doesn't it? Here we find Peter not only telling the Lord, not so, but actually rebuking the Lord. Did you read that? Let's read it again. And Peter took him, Jesus, grabbed him, probably shook him, like you do a child. Well, you shouldn't do that to a child, but probably, well, you probably have, right? You took him and, no, you're not going to do that. Who was Peter rebuking? He wasn't rebuking Thomas. He didn't grab a hold of his mother-in-law and say, no, we're not going to do that. It wasn't that case. He grabbed the Lord Jesus Christ and said, no. Have you ever wrestled with the Lord God Almighty? Have you ever grabbed hold of the Lord and said, no, it's not going to be this way? And what was the dispute over? The cross. Jesus said, I'm going to the cross. And I'm going to suffer and die. You know, people don't like the cross. They just don't like that. We say the people, we, you and I. Didn't Jesus say that we're going to have to take up our cross and follow Him? And so when Jesus begins talking about the cross in our lives, isn't our tendency to grab hold of the Lord and rebuke Him and say, no, Lord, not that. I'm a Christian. I'm looking for the blessings of God. But no blessings come until you pass through the cross. There is no salvation unless the Son of God goes to the cross and rises the third day.
That's right.
Now, if you look at this context, we're going to find out the source of the problem. Jesus, He says, but He turned, Jesus, and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Every one of us this morning have an enemy. Every one of us has the same enemy. We have the same enemy that the Son of God had from a long time ago. The devil. And the devil is interested in getting us as believers to be in rebellion against God. Rebellion, if I recall, is as the sin of witchcraft. Some people think the devil gets us down to the bars and to the pornography. That's very possible. But I see the devil working in Peter's life, provoking Peter to grab the Lord and rebuke the Lord and say, no, it's not going to be that way. Have you ever found yourself in that situation where you're arguing with the Lord, Lord, it's not going to go that way. Now be honest. I think you have. Do you know where that comes from? It doesn't come from God. It comes from our arch enemy, the devil. And so if we're ever going to have to get victory over this, we're going to have to realize that we're fighting a real enemy.
Exactly.
Now look in John in chapter 13. Suffering doesn't make sense to us, and so we want to rebuke the Lord. We have this mistaken idea that we should be able to pass through life without difficulties, without problems. And yet when the Lord confronts us with the reality of life, that He's going to go to the cross, that He's going to be killed, and then He's going to rise again the third day, our natural reaction is to grab Him and rebuke Him. It's not going to be that way. John in chapter 13 and verse 6, he says, "Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do now, do thou knowest not what now, not now. But thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." And again, the Apostle Peter. This is not Pharaoh. This is not an atheist. This is not a rebel against Christ. This is not a Muslim who has a completely different idea of who Christ is. This is the Apostle Peter, who has dedicated his life to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, who recognizes Jesus Christ as Lord, just as you and I. And yet when Jesus comes into his life and says, "You know what, Peter? You're going to need a washing, and I'm going to need to wash your feet," the reaction from Peter is, "No, you're not going to wash my feet." Now, I don't want to preach John chapter 13, but I think we understand that even as believers, we have to go back to the cross for a washing. Yes, we're saved now, and yet we walk in a world that's contaminated by sin. And so there's this need to go back to verses like 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And yet there's that tendency, even in the Christian's life, his old man rises up and says, "It's not going to happen with me. I was willing to come to the cross once. I was willing to be washed once. I was willing to submit to that humility once, but not on a daily basis, and not now." And yet, if we want to walk with the Lord, and if we want to follow Christ, there's going to be needed that daily washing of the feet. And yet our old man rises up and says, "You're never going to wash my feet." I know we think that it's the unbelievers who rebel against the Lord. We think it's the atheists who are against the Lord. And yet we find this curious thing that even amongst us, we find that phrase coming out of our mouths time and time again, at least not, if not enunciated, coming out of our hearts, saying, "Not so, Lord. How can these things be?" Jesus told him, "You don't understand," and I found that many times our disputes with the Lord are over things that we don't understand. "I don't understand this, therefore, Lord, You're not going to do it to me. Lord, why is it that it's my daughter that's sick? I don't understand it, so not so, Lord. Why is it that it's my family that's touched with this affliction, with this trial? No, Lord, it can't be. So, not so, Lord." And these are the very temptations and trials that come our way in our lives that test our faith. That God allows in His wisdom to happen in our lives. I understand that our natural reaction is, no. If I don't understand it, it can't happen. And yet our proper reaction is, if it's the Lord, whatever you say, sir.
Yes.
You see, a long time ago in Isaiah, he said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, say the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And that very exercise of faith, that when we come to God, we say, "Lord, I don't understand the situation. I can't explain the situation. It doesn't make sense to me, but you're the Lord, and therefore I submit."
Amen.
And in there is the victory.
Amen.
I'd like to close with one more example. In Matthew 21, 28, verse 32. 21, 28. Jesus said, "But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' And he answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, 'Likewise.' And he answered and said, 'I go, sir.' And he went not, whether them twain did the will of his father." Now that's the same question I'm going to ask you. Which of the two boys did the will of the father? The first one that said, "No, I'm not going." His natural reaction was, "I'm not going to do it." But then after reflection, he repented and went. Or was it the second boy that said, "Yes, sir, I'm going to go," but didn't go? Which of the two did the will of the Father? That's a question I'm presenting to you. I have one answer. Are you confused? Thank you. Did everybody get the first one? It's one of them multiple choice, true or false. You know, one or two. There's no D and none of the above. It's either one or two. You got a 50% chance of getting it right. Would everybody agree it was the first one that did the will of the Father? Isn't that you and I? The worst of the two is the one that pretends that he goes and doesn't.
Yeah.
We call that hypocrisy. You see, Peter had a lot of failures in his life, but one thing Peter wasn't, he wasn't a hypocrite. And I thank God I know some brothers and sisters like you that aren't hypocrites. At least I hope you're not. I hope you're not following the footsteps of this second brother and just putting on a show. Be sure your sin will find you out. God will expose you.
Amen.
You might fool us, you might fool the pastors, you might fool your friends, you might fool your father and mother, but you're not going to fool God. Sooner or later, God's going to expose you. You see, Peter was exposed all his life because he wasn't a hypocrite. He was real. Now, isn't that what you want to be?
Yeah.
Amen.
You got some problems. You have some weaknesses. You have that tendency to respond to the Lord, No, not so. Sometimes you even have that desire to grab the Lord and try to shake some sense in Him, as if you could give sense to the Lord. "Don't you understand, Lord?" So, brothers and sisters, I bring this message to you this morning because Peter was a real Christian. He had some real problems, some real weaknesses. But you know what? He loved the Lord Jesus Christ. In every one of these cases, Peter ended up doing the right thing. Maybe not at the beginning. Maybe he had to reflect a little bit. Maybe the Lord had to knock some sense into him. But when he saw what the Lord really wanted, he eventually did it. Now, isn't that what you and I want?
Amen.
All right. The question is, how do we do it? We do it, first of all, by recognizing that tendency within us to say no. We recognize that. That's the old man.
Right.
Then we put on the new man and say, "Okay, Lord, I'm ready to go now."
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
All right? Second of all, we recognize that God is smarter than we are.
Amen.
Any one of you that is a father of children, and the older you get, the more you realize that your father knew what he was talking about all along. Now, I'm going to tell off on my boy. Jason calls me up when I'm in Poland and said, "Dad, I joined the Marines." And I'm thinking, now why would you want to do that? He said, "Dad, I joined the Marines." And of course, you know, the recruiters, he just repeated, I'm sure, just what the recruiter had told him. "Well, because if I join the Marines, they're going to teach me, they're going to pay for my schooling." My reaction was, "Well, son, if they're going to pay for your schooling, get them to pay for your schooling first, and then go in as an officer." "Yes?" "No, they're going to pay for my school." I said, "Son, why did you join the Marines? Don't you know we might go to war?" "Oh, we're not going to go to war." "Besides, I'm in the reserves." "They don't call up the reserves, Dad. I'm in the reserves." They called him up twice. I think my beloved son is looking at me in a different perspective now. Whereas before, I just did not understand. But maybe now he thinks I did understand. But whatever the case may be, when we have these confrontations with our Heavenly Father, many times at the beginning, we just don't understand. How can these things be? And so it's an act of faith that we say, "Lord, I don't understand, but I know you're going to do right.
Amen.
Lord, I can't explain it, but I'm just going to have to trust you on this one."
Amen.
You see, that's exercising your faith. And that's what I'm encouraging you and I to do.
Amen.
To exercise our faith in every situation we have with our Lord.
Amen.
Lastly, we have to realize that He is the Lord.
Amen.
And we're the servants. Recognize that Jesus Christ is Lord really takes a burden off the servants. Because it's not our responsibility. It's the Lord's responsibility. That will help you ladies if you realize that. Submit to your husbands.
Amen.
Your husbands, they have tremendous responsibility before the Lord. And so, they're going to give an account. So, you just do your part and allow God to take care of the man. The same thing in this situation. Okay, we can't explain it, but He is the Lord. And we have this extra benefit of realizing He makes no mistakes.
Amen.
Now that husband of yours, well, he probably makes quite a few mistakes. Or the pastors, they probably make quite a few mistakes. But we have this faith and this confidence that we serve the Lord Christ.
Amen.
And in Him is no wrong, no error, no sin, no mistakes. So when He gives an order, we can know it's going to be right.
Amen.
I'd like us to stand and sing number 243. There's room at the cross for you.
Amen.
Now, here's what I want you to do before we start singing. This is an invitation. This is an opportunity for you to change directions. You started off with, "Not so, Lord." Maybe it was tradition that provoked you to do that. Maybe it was the devil himself. I don't know. But you find yourself this morning agreeing and say, "Yeah, you know, I've been telling the Lord no quite often." And you know the command, He said, "Quench not the Spirit. And grieve not the Spirit." So you find yourself in error. What will you do? What will you do? The simplest thing to do is to come to the Lord and allow Him to wash your feet.
Amen.
This is your opportunity to come and to confess your sin to the Lord and ask Him to wash your feet so you can do the right thing.
Amen.
Now, if you're not saved this morning and you don't understand what the question is, whether you're saved or lost, and if this makes no sense to you, but you're here this morning because you're looking for peace. There's something in your soul that has not given you peace and hope. I can tell you for sure, there is peace and there's hope in Christ Jesus. And you can know Him by that act of faith in Christ. Not responding, not slow, not allowing tradition to impede you, but coming to Christ. He promised, "He that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. So we're going to sing this song. If you'd like to confess your sins, if you'd like to get right with the Lord, we invite you to confess them. If you have a question or a burden, come up here and grab my hand, and I'll be more than gladly try to help you. And let's begin singing this. Number 243. Somebody else this morning that will say, yes, I've said the Lord, not so. Amen. That's right. On the music just for a second. I don't want to beg you. I really don't. I want to encourage you to do the right thing. Don't put off for tomorrow what you can do today. You have no guarantee of another moment, another day. You have right now. Don't quench the spirit. Don't respond to God by saying, not now, Lord, not now. God, the Holy Spirit, has touched your heart. Make it right now. Start with a new slate. Right now, we're going to sing one more stanza. You do the right thing. Amen. Father in heaven, we are thankful that you're a merciful God. Even our weaknesses, you bid us to come. Even in our failures and our rebellion, you still call us. Lord, we're grateful for your faithfulness. We're grateful for your mercy and grace. And we come to you this morning humbly, confess our sins. Lord, we're so prone to wander. We're so prone to leave the God we love. And yet there's room in the cross for us. For this we're grateful. I ask you to bless these that have come. I pray that you would forgive every sin that's been committed. I pray that you would have mercy upon everyone this morning and help us to serve you in truth and in love. I ask these things in the name which is above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. May the Lord Jesus Christ richly bless each and every one of you. Amen.